Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. This last week, a ton of our people have went through all kinds of sufferings. Arlene Robinson's being challenged. Dee says it's her brain, but I don't think that's what it is. But I shouldn't have said that, because now I'll never get the people back into what I want them in the message. Brother Rich has got he's got affliction right now. Brother Mel, one of our deacons, has got affliction, and I'm going to talk to you about suffering today. I'm going to talk to you about Brother Sam's about ready to get married. He's going to know what suffering is going to be. No, kidding. I am Meredith. Actually, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. And obtaineth favor from the Lord. So you make sure you thank God for your bride-to-be. Amen. And after she's your bride, you just thank God for her every day. Because those brides are a blessing. Amen, Sean? And I want to talk to you about suffering. I want to talk to you about suffering today. I'm going to give you four truths about suffering. And suffering's part of our life. Amen. Suffering's going to be part of our life to the day we die. Yep. I'm glad one day we're going to a place where there is no suffering. Amen. Revelation 21:4. God's way wipe all tears from our eyes. But until that time comes, we're going to have some, and how we accept it and embrace it and stuff like that. I'm going to give you some truth about suffering today. I called it, Johnny, the fellowship of sufferings. Fellowship of suffering, yeah. How can you have fellowship with suffering? I'm going to show you, you know. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. We're sure glad for the folks from out of town being with us today. I hope your stay here will be a good time. And Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29, and also Philippians 3:10. Look at Philippians 1:29. You got the scripture? For unto you, who's it talking to? Yeah. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to what? Suffer for his sake. Not only to believe on them, but we're also to suffer. Then also Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that's great. We want that power, don't we? And there is power in it. But here's the bad part, Brother Brian. It's tough. And the fellowship, Miss Karen, this is where the toughie comes in. The fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Heavenly Father, thank you for suffering for us. I think about Jesus, even the prophecy 700 years before he was born. Isaiah said that he'd be a man of sorrows and full of and acquainted with grief. And Lord, you know all about sufferings. And Father, help us to understand about sufferings today, that we may better address those things when they come to us, and that we get better, not bitter. Help us, Father, to love you and to serve you and to understand what suffering's all about. We ask your blessings now. And Lord, I think about Brother Rich having trouble with that hip. Lord, would you come down and touch Brother Rich Noel and help heal that hip up? And also Brother Mel and his leg and his knees. And Lord, Annie Saylor. Lord, there's a lot of our folks. There's so many of them. Lord, just be with all of our congregation. Heal them up, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I'm going to preach to you about sufferings. I want us to think about sufferings today. I want you to think about how you can have great fellowship in sufferings. The Bible said in 3:10 there that we might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. That fellowship, when we think about fellowship, we're thinking about having fun, having food, picnics, pizza, hot dogs. Amen? There's more to fellowship, though, than fun. There's more to fellowship than food. Matter of fact, real fellowship, deeper fellowship, most meaningful fellowship comes from sufferings. And I want to talk to you about that. No one wants to suffer. If I said, let me see the hands of all the people who want to suffer today, I guarantee you not one of your hands, not mine either. Kind of like the guy said, oh, I want to go to heaven, raise their hand. And want to go to heaven right now. And the guy said, well, I want to go, but not right now. I'll take the next ship out, you know, next train out. Well, none of us want to suffer. But Brother Jack, sufferings, listen to me now, sufferings bring us closer to God. I was thinking about Jimmy Samuel Dell, you know, and I praise God he hasn't had it for a while. But a few years back, I cried and cried. I tried to pray down. Sometimes Jimmy gets these nerve endings in his face, and he could take all kinds of pain. They can give him the strongest medication, and it has no effects on him. And I thought of all the sufferings he goes through sometimes. And the only thing they do, he has to go to Cleveland Clinic and have a surgery on that. They have to do something to stop that nerve ending so he can have relief from pain. Their sufferings aren't in there. Sufferings. Listen, God brings suffering into our life to make us better. Satan tries to use sufferings to make you bitter. Now, listen to me. You've got to get, this is so important. This is so, what I'm giving you a great truth today. I'm not going to tickle your ears today, but I'm going to give you a great truth for your Christian life. And this is so important. If you don't get the handle on sufferings, what I preach today, if you don't get a handle on this, how many want to have a victorious life? Amen. John, if I can't convey to the people today about sufferings, if people can't get a handle on about the truth about sufferings, you're never going to have a victorious life. I'm going to give you four quick things about sufferings. By the way, Failure to understand sufferings in your life will cause you to have bitterness and will cause you to have unforgiveness. Oh, that's a great statement. Let me give this to you. Say this with me. Failure to understand sufferings will cause you to have bitterness and unforgiveness. There are a lot of people in life right now. I've got family, my brother-in-law, and different people. I've got family that because something happened in their life and they blame God, they're bitter. By the way, bitterness only destroys people. It destroys the one having bitterness and it destroys those around them. And unforgiveness. I'll never forgive God for this. He let that happen to me. I'll never forgive him. If you don't get a handle today of what I'm giving you a truth on this, on sufferings, you will have bitterness and you'll have unforgiveness and you will never have victory in your Christian life. Never. Sufferings is a part of our life. And by the way, sufferings stem from the Garden of Eden. It all goes back with Adam and Eve. See, that before sin came, there was no suffering. Man, they were in the paradise of God, Brother Mike. And by the way, we're going to the paradise of God someday. But can I tell you, this isn't, Brother Billy, This isn't the paradise of God that we're in right now. Kenny, you know, it's hard. It's tough. Brother Brian, you know, it's tough. How many go through a lot of heartaches and sorrow in this life? I'm going to tell you right now. We are going to have sufferings, and you got to understand what suffering's all about. By the way, Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man, that's talking about Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. Don't blame God for all the stuff that goes on. It came back. It all stems from the garden. All the diseases, everything, people dying, everything, for the wages of sin is, yeah. It all goes back to the garden. You get mad. Like we get to heaven. How about you, dirty rat, Adam? Where's Adam at? I just want to say, you dirty rat. No, when we get to heaven, Brother Ray, I won't say it because God will give me a new heart, a new mind, and I won't even, isn't that great? Amen. I'll have forgetfulness, amen? We'll be like Christ, and he remembers no more, amen? But don't get mad at God. I could still be hearing Dr. Brooke. I could still see Dr. Brooke saying, talking to him, knocking on that table and saying, that dirty rat Adam, everything stems back to that guy. You dirty rat, Adam. Don't blame God. When I watched my mama die and go down to 65 pounds with cancer, don't blame God. My mom lived in a world that is diseased. But everything, all sin, all death, all heartache, all sorrow, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. And that's where it come out of, because Adam and Eve sinned. And because sin entered the world, so then death did. And sorrow. By the way, remember in Genesis 4, Genesis 3, when God talked to Adam and Eve, he said, man, from now on, remember he expelled them out of the garden, Brother Mark? And he said, from now on, but girl, you're going to have trouble having babies. You're going to have pain. And you guys, you're going to work all the rest of your life. And you're going to have thorns and thistles. And you're going to work for the sweat of your brow. Buddy, your life's going to be miserable. We were talking today about the two natures, and we're going to talk in next week about it. But Brother Mark, Adam and Eve, they had it made. But Bobby, when they sinned, that brought it on. Look up here. You got to get this. You got to understand why things are like they are. It'll help you cope with things. We live in a stressful world. And by the way, it's getting more stressful every day. And it's going to, Lizzie, it's going to get even more stressful. And if you want to have a victorious life, you need to hear what preacher's going to give you today. Number one, I'm going to give you four quick things. Number one, to understand suffering, if you want God's hand and power on your life, you must accept suffering. Number one, if you want God's hand on you, you want God's power on your life, you must accept sufferings as part of life. Just like suffering was part of Jesus' life, right? From birth all the way to his death, he had sufferings. I mean, when you think about Isaiah 53:3, it says he was a man acquainted, he bore sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. Isaiah was talking about our Savior 700 years before he was born and said, hey, this man, he's gonna have a life full of sorrows and grief. Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world, Creator, and Brother Godiver, our Savior, from get-go, was acquainted with grief and sufferings and sorrow. Are you with me? Are you listening to the preacher today? Now listen to me. Number one, you must accept, if you want the hand of God on you, you want the power of God on you, when you have sufferings, you must accept them. You must accept them as, and take them as God's will. The apostle, in Acts chapter 5, don't turn to it, 5 verse 40 to 42. Remember they were put in prison for preaching, and they beat them, and they lashed them, and they took them out. And they said, okay, now don't preach no more. And the Bible says in verse 42 there, Acts 5, it says they glorified God that they were worthy to suffer for his name. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, 2 Corinthians 1:5, that the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Brother Leo, that means, the Apostle Paul said abound means we're having a whole lot of them. Not just a couple of them. Brother Eddie, he said that they abound in us. In other words, man, there's many of them. It seems like we just get done with one suffering and another one comes. Are you listening? Christians, look up here. We are going to have sufferings. If you get mad and you blame God and you lose your testimony over having sufferings, you will never have a victorious life. If you want the power of God and the hand of God on you in your Christian life, number one, I keep repeating it to you, you must accept sufferings. You know, maybe some of you are going through some health issues right now. You can either get better or bitter. Maybe some of you, these, when I got that sugar over 700, whew, that was bad. But you know what it did? It helped preacher get closer to God. Amen. Look up here. And it actually helped me lose weight. I don't want to get 700 again, but so I can't lose some more weight. Lord, I hope we can work it out where I can lose and not get going again. By the way, it wasn't God's fault that I was 700 sugar. It was all the way I was eating and doing stuff. Right. Hello? You can't be an idiot eating 25 cookies a day and 4 pies and 10 pizzas and or half a gallon of ice cream and wonder why my sugar's up. I don't understand it. What did I do? You know, we blame God for things that not even God's fault. Look up here. But it helped me get closer to God. Sufferings, listen to me. Sufferings are a way that God uses for us to get closer to God. I'll never forget my preacher, Pastor Roy Jones. He was when I was in my young 20s, and actually he was the one that mentored me as far as a preacher boy. He was from Knoxville, Tennessee, and just a southern boy, and he had a lot of fire in him. And even after I pastored, he was still my preacher, and I always looked to him. And I remember he loved the fish. Oh, my lands. Roy Jones, Brother Roy, Dr. Roy, he loved the fish. And, buddy, he could fish. And, see, he taught me, if you want to catch a lot of fish, like the smaller lures, you'll catch more fish on them smaller lures. He said, you'll catch a lot of, if you want to just catch a lot of fish, use them littler lures, they'll go on them, they'll hit those lures, but there'll be smaller fish to hit them. I said, if you want to catch bigger, that big fish, use a bigger lure. But he said, you won't catch as many, but it all depends what you're going after. But he loved to fish. Oh, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with fishing. No. Matter of fact, I wouldn't mind going fishing someday. I like to fish. But I remember he got that cancer in his brain, Eddie. I remember a year before he died. Remember how you flew me over to Penn, I went over to Baltimore there. He pastored Bethel Baptist Church in Joppa, Maryland. And I just, Miss Mildred, his wife, called him. So I flew in there and just spent some time with him. Maybe me and Rosie drove there. I can't remember. But I remember going there, spending time with, about a week there with him, just to be with him. He said something to me that I'll never forget. I'll never forget it. And he died about 6 months afterwards. And that's when I flew in. I think I drove there this time I'm talking about. I flew in and I preached his funeral. He said, Brother Rich, my days are so limited, and I know it now. Because I said, hey, are you going fishing with one of the, I mentioned some of the men. He said, really? He said, I'm not really worried about fishing right now. He said, Brother Rich, I know I only have a few more months to live. And he said, all I want to do now is focus on getting people saved. He said, I want to put all my efforts of trying to get closer to God. I'll never forget him saying that to me, Mark. He said, I don't even think about fishing anymore. And there's a guy that fished with fish. And by the way, it's not wrong to go fishing. Please don't misread me. But what I'm trying to tell you is when we get illnesses, we forget about thinking about the temporal things. Sufferings make us think and focus on the eternal things. Amen. By the way, even if I went fishing, though, I always take tracks with me, and I would make sure I would witness to somebody. Guy I buy the bait off, or someone that we're putting a boat in, or I'd find somebody that I would try to witness to. You can do, even when you take a vacation, you don't need to take a vacation on God. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. He said, my days are numbered. And he said, Brother Rich, I don't even think about fishing no more. Man, that's all he used to talk to me about was, look at this. I mean, that guy was an avid fisherman. He loved to fish. And when he told me, he said, man, that's the farthest thing from my mind. I thought, wow, what a wake-up call. Hello? See, a lot of times God, and well, every time, when we have sufferings, you can write this truth down, sufferings God uses to bring us closer to him. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're going through financial trouble. Maybe you had a breakdown in a relationship with someone. Maybe you're having health issues. All those things that we go through, whatever it might be, God is using all those sufferings to try to bring us closer to him. So don't fight it. You know, Josel had that Friday, around a little after 4 o'clock, Josel had that little baby girl. But then she had complications. And they had to rush her to the hospital, Robinson. Rose and I went up there that morning. And we got a phone call and said, man, they've rushed Josel to the hospital. There's complications. The baby's all right. Matter of fact, the baby still stayed at home. And there, by the way, there's nothing wrong with having that baby at home. And they were ready, and they were prepared if something would go on, that they were prepared to go to the hospital. So they, but what I'm saying is this, she had complications. She had to go to the hospital. But what was amazing, me and Rosie went in, and she, you know what she said to me and Rosie? Hey, I praise God for this. She said, preacher, I've accepted this. God's going to use this for his glory. So she's like, it's good. God's going to help me to get closer. She actually said this to me Friday morning. Me and Rose, she says, I've got no problem with this. She says, I didn't plan on it, but you know what? Hey, I've got it. I'm dealing with it. I didn't want to be here, but I'm here. And God's going to work something in my life, going to work for some other Christian's life. She says, I've accepted it. And boy, she didn't know I was preaching this message. And I'm saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Number one, accept, and she did, accept sufferings. And if you don't, you're never going to make it. I was talking to Diane Jones, man. She broke her arm last time she went home. Thought the wall was behind her. She leaned back, and there wasn't no wall. Kaboom! Broke her arm. Here I'm all worried. I called her today. I said, how you doing? She says, preacher, I'm out driving the van right now. I'm still, she said, I don't take off work. She's accepted it and went on. Miss Mert, I called her last night. Miss Mert's been trying to get a job. She had a job interview. Yep. And I said, boy, let me know when you, because we, oh God, let her get, she didn't get the job. Not only did she not get the job, your sister didn't get the job, Brother Eddie. Then someone stole her car and smashed it into a tree. And all the king's horses and all the king's men, they can't put that Buick Century back together. And I caught her last night, and I said, Miss Mert, how's it going? She said, I'm pretty good. Could have been worse. I could have been inside it, or, you know, here's the thing. Look up here. I'm spending some time, more time in this first one. Whatever we got to go through, accept it. Accept the suffering. Now, you cannot accept it and get a bad attitude. Try to blame God for something and get mad and have a bad testimony. And by the way, just because we're suffering, that don't give an excuse to go do some sin that we shouldn't be doing. Amen? So, deal with it. Accept it. Number two. Now, number one, when you suffer, if you want the power of God on you, you must accept it. Number two, if in sufferings, if you want Christ's glory, you must embrace the sufferings. You got to embrace it. Jesus embraced the sufferings for the glory of God. You know, Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Christ, he embraced the sufferings for the glory of God. You know why? You want to get some glory? You go through sufferings? Give God the glory and let people see glory. Let God get glory from your sufferings. I can quote you Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Most people can quote that, but let me read you verse 10 in Hebrews 2:10. For it became him, Christ, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. It was all through the sufferings that God, that Christ made it possible for us. See, our sufferings, if we'll use it for the glory of God, can make it possible for somebody else. Over in Corinthians, it says, God is a great, he comforts us in our trial, and that through this comfort, we can comfort others. How many are still with me? So we must accept it. Number two, we must embrace it. If you don't embrace it, you're never gonna have glory from it. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Brian, you're going through, you and Miss Karen, don't think it's strange. As though some strange things happen unto you. Hey, we say, wow, God, what's going on here? Hello? Anybody still here? Mark 13 is hard for me to do. First of all, 12 says, hey, all you Christians, get a grip. Look at this again, Bill. Beloved, think it not strange for concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strain happens on you. Say, wow, I can't believe this is happening. No, it's going to happen. Hello? Are you calling BR549? Are you still with me? Don't think it... Listen, don't think it's strange that you're having problems. God said we are going to have problems. God said we are going to have adversities. God said we are going to have sorrows. God says we are going to have trials and tribulations. God said that's part of your life. Why do we keep expelling it like we don't think it's part of it? Well, I'm not supposed to have this. Well, why am I doing this? Why am I going? Don't you love me? Are we home? Look at verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and God's rested upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glory. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let me see that. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to learn to glorify God even in our hardships. And what happens, Brother Mike, people see that and they say, wow, that man and that woman still serving God? They've got nothing? That this thing's happened to them? How are they still serving God? Boy, if that would happen to me, I'd have to quit on God. Am I making any sense to anybody? How are they still going on? Because they've given it to God. Listen to me. Give it to God. Embrace it. Say, okay, God, this is from you. If you can get glory through this, amen. Are you with me? And listen, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10 says, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. That was 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. You know, when we are weak, that's when God can work in our life. Bobby, when I had that insulin, that sugar over 700, you know, I wasn't worried about what the Indians, if they won or lost. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I watched TV during that time. You know, it's amazing when we're going through sufferings, my attitude and your attitude and my focus is more on the eternal than it's a temporal. Matter of fact, when I'm going through sufferings, I'm not even worried about the house or the car or the refrigerator or whatever, you know, whatever I need. How many are with me? I'm not worried about who's winning the pennant. I'm not worried about what the Cleveland Browns are going to do. I'm not worried if LeBron James is going to stay here in Cleveland or going to leave. How many are still with me? See, when we go through those sufferings, Brother Brian, what it does, it just, God helps us to get closer. And we say, oh, God, I got to focus more on this. Because right now, this is what's most important. Well, see, God wants us to, believe it or not, Mandy, God wants us to be, he wants to be most important all the time. But usually when I'm on the mountaintop, God ain't focused on a whole lot. Boy, when I'm down the valley, Brother Mark, whew, hey, I better get focused. Hey, God, hey, Lord, this, you know what? This is serious. Hello? But boy, Eddie, if we got money in the bank and everything's going good, we're healthy and everything's going great, God, I'll read your Bible tomorrow. Lord, I promise, I didn't pray today, but I'll pray tomorrow. But boy, when you're in affliction, you're praying all the time. See, sufferings bring us closer to God. I said, number one, we need to accept it if we want the power. I said, number two, we need to embrace it if we want to see the glory. I see people serving God now that they had devastation in their life not too long ago. Something that would devastate most people, yet they're still serving God. I see the life. I watched them work in Vacation Bible School, and I said, oh, God, thank you for those people. I know they've had devastation in their life, but they're still going forward. You're getting glory out of their life. See, when we give up and quit on God, he don't get glory. It's the one that just keeps on going on no matter what. God, I know what's happened, but I know things are going to be better. And Lord, you never make a mistake. And I'm just going to accept what's happened and take and go forward with you until I see you. And people say, wow, what faith, what dedication, what glory that they bring to God. Amen? Number three, God uses suffering to establish our Christian walk. Oh, you got to read. It's 12 o'clock, but let me read this. First, look at 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. How many want to have an, look up here. How many look at me right now. How many want to have an established walk with God? No, I mean really. How many want to really be established for God? Okay. Now, did you mean that? How many really meant that? Say, I really want have an established walk with God. And I mean it. I'm not lying. Honest engine. Now, read 1 Peter 5:10 with me. You just said that. But the God of all grace, I'm in 1 Peter 5:10, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. I was telling the class downstairs, man, our conversations in heaven, Philippians 3:20, we're already seen risen in him in Ephesians 2:6. He always sees us risen because God calls those which are not as though they already are. Look, but the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered. After that you have suffered. After that you had suffered. Number one, Lizzie, after you had suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Brother Mark, the first one is suffering, because until you suffer, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be established. You're never going to be established, because that suffering makes you get there. I heard this truth. I love this truth. Write this down. Suffering, I shared it with Miss Mert last night. Suffering, Debbie, you girls with fibromyalgia that suffer all the time and different health issues, suffering is the fertile ground that God uses to establish our lives. Amen. How many of you ever tried to grow things? Dee, you went through all kinds of suffering in your life. Suffering is the fertile ground. He transplants us into fertile ground. That's the suffering is the fertile ground that we grow in. You can't grow until you suffer. Look up here. Think of all the great people of God. Think of all the great men and women of God. Look at the lives. If I said to you, Dr. Jack Hiles, my favorite preacher, he had tons of suffering and sorrow and loss. If I say double-breasted, Dr. Lee Robinson, you say, well, Lee Robinson, he never suffered all. While he was preaching revival, his little girl named Joy died. He lost a little child named Joy. By the way, they made a great camp after that. And thousands of kids were saved because they made a camp in dedication to Joy. Lester, you just name it. You listen, go in the Bible. John, how many think John the Baptist was a good, great guy for God? He lost his head. Jesus on down. Every great person that's ever done something for God, look up her. They had to suffer before. David, you'll never become a great leader till you suffer, and you have, son. Look up here. Great leaders become great because they went through the fertile ground of suffering. There are no great leaders that didn't suffer. There are no great leaders that never suffered. Suffering, number three, is the fertile ground that help us grow. Then I'll give you the last one, number four. By the way, what are you going through today? What's your suffering today? Health issues? Financial issues? Sorrow? Different. You know what David said in Psalms 119, verse 71? This will blow your mind. Listen to this, Brian. David said this in Psalms 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. He said, David, King David, who went through all kinds of things, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. It's been good for me that I've been afflicted. I didn't want it, but it's good for me. That I may learn thy statutes. God, through our afflictions, Annie, God teaches us and takes us through the fertile ground. Then lastly, number four. If you choose, I said number one, you need to accept the sufferings of God if you want the power of God on you. I said number two, you have to embrace the suffering to see the glory of God. I said number three, the sufferings are fertile ground that God uses to help us grow. I said number four, if you choose to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You kids take your, not, if you go to a public school, our kids stay, they have their Bible every day. We have Bible teaching every day here, Christian Academy here. But if the kids, you that go to Christians, go to public school, take your Bible there every day. See if you don't get persecution. You men, you ladies that work on the public jobs, you take a stand for Christ. You read your Bible during lunchtime. By the way, don't use the company time. You just your lunchtime. Don't laugh at the smutty jokes. Don't listen to the smutty jokes. Don't tell rotten stuff. Walk away from evil. Take a stand for Christ. You watch out, you're going to get persecuted. You mark it down. You tell people, no, I don't want that. I don't believe in that of killing the babies. I don't believe in all that horrible, evil stuff. I don't believe in that same-sex marriages. I don't believe in of all the alcohol and the drugs and stuff. No, I don't believe in that rock music. You mark it down. You take a stand. You're going to get persecuted. I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, I'm going to live a separated life? You mark her down, you're going to suffer persecution. No, look up here. You're going to suffer it. You just mark her down. If you're going to live a separated life, and by the way, we're supposed to live separated lives, we're going to suffer persecution. I'm going to close with this last verse. I'm done. I cut it. You mark her down when you decide to take a stand for Christ. You will be challenged in your life. You will be persecuted. I remember people used to laugh at me when I worked at Allied Chemical. Kenny, they'll laugh at you where you work. Look up here. But I'm going to tell you something. The most wicked, vile men would cuss me in the lunchroom. They'd mock me in the lunchroom. They would make fun of me and say things, and I wouldn't respond back. But Grandma Lemley, when their life hit bottom, yes, they were. And when their life was shattered, you know what they would do? They did, Bobby. They would wait till everybody was gone, and they would wait till I was on a job by myself, and they would come and say, can I talk to you? The same people that made fun of me and mocked me and tried to belittle me, when they were down and out, they would come to me and say, can you help me? I'm in trouble. And I'd say, yes, I can. And I will. You don't know what your testimony means to people. Believe it or not, people are counting on you more than you think. Let me give you this last thought. You want to see the barometer? How spiritual we are? I'm going to quote you one verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 24:10 is a spiritual test for our spirituality. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. In other words, Brother Sean, when we're going through sufferings, if we turn our back on God, we get mad, we turn and say, God, I hate you and stuff like that, and do all the things against God and don't give God the glory, God says your spirituality is very small. The true test, Ryan, is this. When you're going through adversities, when you're going through sufferings, how tall do you stand for God? How long will you stay in for God? How long can you take the heat before you get out of the kitchen? Solomon said, if thou faint in the day of adversity. I've pastored churches for almost 30 years. I've watched Christians, good Christians, things come in their life. And by the way, we're all the same. I've turned my back on God too. So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me too. Because none of us are above reproach. I was telling the class today, there are some good people in this church. But even the best of people in this church, there's days that their feet stink too. We all have stinky feet. Aren't you, that was a great Bible class, wasn't it? It was a stinky feet Bible class. See, God says, anybody can serve me when things are going good. It's when they're all, when the whole bottoms fall out and you're still standing. That's when I see the real Marines. That's when I see the soldiers of the cross. Can I read the last scripture to you? By the way, I've cut, so I'm really doing well. Everyone turn to this last scripture, Romans chapter 8. Of course, it has to be Romans, my favorite book. Let me just read this verse and I'll stop. I won't quit preach on it. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led, I'm in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Look at verse 17. And if children, are you a child of God? And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we're all excited about going to heaven. We're all excited about getting glory. We're all excited about mansions and streets of gold, pearly gates, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. Everyone, can anyone say amen? And join heirs with Christ, and so be that we suffer with him. We ain't excited about the suffering, that we may be also glorified together. Look at verse 18. For I reckon, Paul is from the south. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can I put that in layman's terms? He said, you take all the suffering, all the heartache, all the trials you have in all your life, put them all together, put all the people's sufferings together, and they can't even compare with how great the glory of heaven's going to be. He said, quit your whimpering. The little bit that you're having in this little bit of time down here is nothing to compare. I can't even think of a, I'm trying to think of something I can't give you. My first thought here to close was, think about the most cheapest car you could buy. That's not good. A Taurus? No, that's a good car. Taurus, good car. Kia. Kia. Ain't gonna make my Taurus a bad car. 175,000 miles, it's still running, buddy. 27 miles to a gallon. Don't tell me it ain't a bad car. He badmouths his Ford, and he drives it every day. Chevy's broke down, he's driving the Ford, and he's badmouthing the Ford. He said, "Preacher, I can't get it, but I have to come over with my Ford." I said, "Yeah, that's the one you drive every day, isn't it?" Yeah. God says, "You know, you're driving that old little Ford that's Kenny's got that Taurus and that he don't like, rusted. And but one day you're going to be driving a Cadillac Escalade. There's so much difference. And you're whimpering. I'm giving you an Escalade." By the way, that's not a good comparison. The Bible says heaven's so great. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor nothing's entered in the heart which God prepared to them that love him." Heaven's so great, Brother Cy, I can't even tell you how great it is, because I can't describe it. It's indescribable. It's so wonderful. Paul went up there and he said, "Words unspeakable." He actually saw it, came back and couldn't tell you. He said, "I can't describe it. It's beyond words." He said, the blessings are going to be so beyond measure. You got this little bit of time with this suffering, yet you're turning your back and you're whimpering, and you got that to look forward to. He said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory." Let's accept the sufferings, and let's look forward to the glory. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Help us to understand sufferings. Help us to not get bitter and an unforgiving heart over sufferings. Satan wants us to have a bitterness. Satan wants us to have unforgiveness. But, oh God, you want us to have forgiveness and loving. You don't want us to get bitter. You want us to get better. And sufferings make us better. They settle us. Matter of fact, they make us great Christians. Joseph suffered, and yet he saved the whole nation of Israel because he was willing to go through sufferings. And he told his brothers, "You meant evil for me, but God meant it for good." Lord, help us to understand about our sufferings in life and help us to accept them. Help us to embrace them. Help us understand it's the fertile ground that God uses to transplant us that we might grow. And help us, Father, to not be ashamed when we're persecuted. Help us to take a stand, and even when we're persecuted, help us not to shrink from our responsibilities, and help us never to forget that Christ suffered more than anyone. He suffered the cross of Calvary. He suffered all the sins of mankind that we could have eternal life in heaven. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many today could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved, and I know if I died I'd go to heaven." Could you raise that hand? "I know for sure I'm saved, I'm going to heaven." Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any say, "Pastor, I wish I knew when I die I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to be sure. Pray for me." Just raise in. Let me pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. "I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Anyone like that today? Pray for me. Include me in that prayer, Pastor. Maybe you're going through some sufferings. Maybe right now, you're either in sufferings right now, or you're heading into sufferings, or you're coming out of sufferings. Maybe you're in one right now and you'd say, "Pastor, pray for me. We're going through some real hard times. Pray for me." Yes, 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 yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, I see those hands back there. Maybe you'd say, "Preacher, I just came through one. Pray for me the next time that I'll accept it better. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Heavenly Father, help my people. Help me. Help us understand that sufferings are sent to help us to grow, to get closer to you. Help us to accept them. Help us to embrace them. Help us to know that sufferings are the fertile ground that God uses to make our lives better for Him. I pray these. And Lord, you saw every hand that went up. I pray for every person here. Please help them in their time of sufferings. I ask, and Lord, may they know that great fellowship. May they know the great fellowship with Christ, the fellowship of suffering. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Mark? 344. You come right now.